I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with ceramic artist Sara Santaramia. Sara, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to finally have some time with you today. Mm-hmm. I've seen you quite a bit over the last year. And one of the things that we've never really talked about is, how did you get to Atlanta in the first place?
That's the golden question. I always get that. I always reply like, it's life. Like, I don't know, I've been following my intuition and I've been like moving from one country to another, and now it happens to be Atlanta. My boyfriend, who I met in Madrid, and I, we both decided that we wanted to leave Spain. And my preference was to move somewhere in Europe where I've lived before. I was living before in England and France, so I'd rather stay around there. And then it happened for him that he got a job here, and then he first moved for probably like a year and a half, and then I decided to came later.
So what was your first impression or a series of impressions about Atlanta when you first got here?
I was mentally prepared somehow, because from previous experiences, like living in other countries, I just learned that there is no perfect place. I know that. So I was prepared for like a kind of like a cultural shock. I know like American culture is very different from the European one. And I know that, or I knew that Atlanta was going to be just another period in my life. Like, I didn't come here thinking that I was like moving to Atlanta permanently. So I was ready for that. And for the most part, I like Atlanta. I think as a really emerging city that is changing really quickly. I've seen it change like since I got here like almost 2 years ago. And I think it's like a full of opportunities. I think it's a good place for being an emerging artist. And I like it. My first impression, it was like, it caught my attention that it was like in the middle of a forest. And being a city for me, that was like surprisingly, like, I don't know, like I'm used to normally like concrete jungles. And suddenly Atlanta, it was like surrounded by nature. And I really like it that. My first impression was also feeling that the city was empty. I remember like my sensation of like, where is people? Why there is no people on the streets? Like, it took me a time to realize like it's so like it's this like car culture, like people won't walk anywhere, like people just drive, so you don't see people walking in the streets. And that really, like, caught my attention. It took me a while to get used to that feeling. It was, like, kind of like an empty land. You know, it's a city, but you don't see people moving from point A to point B, like, walking. That caught my attention.
So you mentioned that you lived in Europe previously, and you are from Madrid in Spain. So yep. Maybe lay out your journey from Madrid to Atlanta. So where did you live in between here and when you first left Madrid?
I first left Madrid when I was probably like 19, 20, and I moved to England, to the south of England. I was living for about like maybe 2-3 years between Bournemouth and Brighton, that's the south of England. After that, I traveled for long periods alone. I went to Greece and to Canary Islands. That took me probably like another year and a half that I traveled alone. I went back to Madrid and studied in Madrid for almost like probably another 4 years. And then I moved to France. From France, I went to Canada. And from Canada, I came here.
Okay.
That was like, I think I get it right.
So as far as your artistry, have you been working as an artist the whole journey through?
No, on and off.
On and off?
On and off, yeah. I didn't have really clear, like, I remember I first started doing art, let's say, when I enrolled in a drama school, like when I was younger, like probably with 16. And I did theater for a while. Then I did fiber arts. I work in France and Canada in like a studio assistant positions, like doing sculpture and ceramics, but also took breaks. Like when I was living in England, I think like I was just like working in whatever, like I wasn't doing art necessarily. I also had a work that it was a job that it was like doing cultural interchanges, nothing related to art. So no, I took breaks.
So your process when it comes to your ceramic art, from what I've seen, is very rooted in shapes and geometry and from a process that is using molds versus your hands a little bit more. So can you talk maybe about the process in how you make your art and maybe what started you down this particular path?
Actually, like, I always felt, like, kind of attracted to ceramics because my uncle, who used to look after us, he's a ceramicist. So I always had, like, this connection with it. But it wasn't until I went to France and I started working in these studios that I really, like, got back to it as an adult. And the technique that I learned in France, it was mold making. So, and in Canada, it was, like, more working, like, hands-on work, like more like working with my hands and straight on the clay body. But I, for some reason, I enjoy more the technique of mold making. And when I moved to Atlanta and I decided to start doing it by myself, I just like retook from the last point that I enjoyed the most, who like it was mold making. And I like the fact that mold making creates like family of objects, so you can reproduce them. The geometry, it comes to, like, I'm interested in patterns. Like, geometry for me comes from the concept of patterns. And I am interested in how we as individuals follow certain patterns to behave or to socialize and how those patterns influence and shape the roads our life take.
Now, outside of your art, when it comes to those patterns, mm-hmm. what do you look for or I guess how do you observe patterns when you are
in my daily life?
Yeah,
you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I have it like really present, but I think it's more because actually I think inspiration can actually come to me from really random things. Like I can be inspired daily, and I am daily inspired by really like random things, like I don't know, the texture on a wall or the shape of a building, or it can be really whatever. But as a foreign living in an unfamiliar country, I really observe those patterns because I'm really interested in, like, when I speak about patterns, I mean more like the intercultural identity that is the result of the adaptation to a new environment, and that is based on the patterns that you follow. Your old patterns, the patterns that I have, like from my old cultural environment, don't fit in the new social environment. So I have to adapt those old patterns to the new ones. And that's what I come to the concept of, like, intercultural identity and the patterns that we break, and the patterns that we take, and the blend of it is like what I call the intercultural identity, which mm-hmm. is the result of that.
So when you notice yourself adopting a different pattern, mm-hmm. how do you take note of that?
I live like in a permanent observation of how I perceive, how I judge, and how I relocate myself in the new context. I live in a permanent observation of that. And I do it because it's a challenge, it's a struggle. It feels like you are leaving like a part of yourself somehow behind.
Now, what have you noticed about your work in terms of growth in your practice over the past couple of years?
Like, do you mean, like, regarding the material, or?
Well, I mean more so in bodies of work and maybe even evolving your process. I know in some of your earlier work, there were these longer geometric shapes mm-hmm. that you would stack on top of each other.
Yep.
And I noticed in some of your recent work, there are more sculptures that are several different forms together, like the levers and the balls and the base.
The foldings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's more the result of this observation. Like, I think when I first came to Atlanta, I just wanted to make things, you know, like I wanted to do it by myself. Like, I've been like practicing in between France and Canada for 2 years, and then I came to Atlanta. I found this place in Wanderoot, and I just wanted to like start making it by myself. So the first thing that I started doing it was like these geometric shapes that I felt attracted to. Then I evolved more into the observation of this like kind of flexibility of the material, that it really fit into my daily thinking of like you really need to adapt yourself to a new medium. And for me, like clay, it has that, it addresses that concept. I see the body of clay as a lump, an amorphous kind of shape that you have to manipulate to make it fit, to adapt it to a new form, to a new thing that you want to create out of it. And I think the fact that I was starting working with the material to explore the flexibility of the clay, it was like more towards like this direction of like adaptation.
Now, quick question about the actual molds that you use. What are those molds made out of?
Plaster.
Plaster?
Yeah.
And take me through your mold making process. I'm actually curious about that.
Okay. It depends. Like, I can, for example, grab an object. Like, I always feel like really attracted to secondhand objects or like vintage objects or like things that you find in a thrift store or like, I don't know, like a stick or a stone or whatever. So you can take an object and then cast it. You just like make, depending on the shape of the object, you can do like a one part mold or two part molds. Like, you have to break it apart to make a mold out of it. That's one thing. You can take an object and then do the mold out of the object. Or I can also sculpt the object itself. Like, for example, the pyramids, I just like build up a pyramid and then cast it with plaster. Do you want to know how is it? Like, how do you make the mold?
Whatever you want to share.
I don't know. You just take the object and then you have like to put it like kind of in a box or whatever so the plaster doesn't go away. And then once you put the plaster, the plaster will transfer the image. It will cut the image of the object.
You talked about your journey to Atlanta. Where else have you had a chance to visit in the States?
I've been to New York. I have friends living there, and I went to visit them. I've been to Miami. I have a bunch of friends in Miami, randomly, like a friend from school. Alejandro lived there for a while, so he has like probably like 4 or 5 friends there. And we go to Miami often just to visit them. New Orleans, it happened. We had a wedding there. Savannah, I went with a friend from Atlanta who took me there with his family. I love Savannah, it's beautiful. Washington, I don't know if I'm missing something else.
No, well, I mean, you've gotten a chance to see some of the different cityscapes.
Yeah, I like to move.
Yeah.
If I have the chance, I go somewhere.
Yeah. Now, in comparing all of the various cityscapes or natural landscapes in the U.S. that you've had a chance to visit, contrast that with Madrid and maybe some of the other areas of Spain where you have lived or visited.
It has nothing to do. Nothing to do. It's like day and night.
Yeah.
Well, maybe New York.
Mm-hmm.
I can relate more New York in the sense that it's a big city. People walk. You have the. It's more about the. How vibrant you feel a city. Like, I feel like, for example, like New Orleans or Savannah or Atlanta, or it's still like really like they're like relatively small and people drive their cars. So it's like you don't have the feeling of a big city. Whether like in New York, it's just the opposite. It's just like people all around you. Mm-hmm. Get the subway. Like, I don't know. It's another feeling.
Yeah, so in judging from our earlier conversations before this podcast, but also currently, for you, the vibrancy of a city, I feel like is best experienced walking or just out in the city.
Absolutely, yeah. And I love Atlanta, but if you ask me what would you change about Atlanta, I'd say less cars. More people walking, more people riding bikes, because it really changes everything. It changes the way people socialize. Like, if you're, like, hanging out in the streets, like, there's people from everywhere, and it's, like, easier to socialize. You don't have to schedule out someone to go to a bar. You just go to a street and socialize. And it really shapes the way a people, the way, like, people in the cities interact. There is no opportunity for interaction if you just, like, go by yourself in your car.
So where are your favorite places to walk in Atlanta?
I try to walk everywhere. Like, I live by Mattress Factory, so if I go to eat something, or if I go to Cabbage Town and it's not freezing, I go walking. Or if I go to eat something around the neighborhood, I walk. I walk to the Beltline. I can walk here to Wonder Route sometimes, so I bike.
And what is it that you miss most about home?
About Madrid, like, let's call Madrid home. My friends, by far, yeah. My friends.
What about your friends?
I think, like, the way I build up relationships with my friends is really deep. And I think the way we understand each other is, like, farther away from, like, a regular, like, I don't know. Like, I think we're really, really close to each other. We got the chance to leave each other. I travel with most of them. I lived abroad with a few of them, too. So we are, like, really, really close to each other. My friends in Madrid is, like, I don't know. I have, like a really tight boundary or... And I feel like I don't have to say anything. They just look at me and they know what's going on. And I really miss that. And I think it takes a lot of time to build up that kind of relationship. So it's just like an empty hole. Like, and it's not the same. Like, actually, the distance, it doesn't help. Like, when we have conversations, like, through Skype or, like, we text, like, it's not the same. I really miss the face-by-face, the face-to-face interaction.
So,
and it's been irreplaceable by now. Like, I haven't found, like, another kind of relationships that I can compare to what I have in Madrid. They're really special people to me.
Do you think that's because of not just the movement, but maybe because of your place in the movement and maybe how... In every place, you're adapting to norms that maybe aren't natural for you. So you're trying to adapt and fit in. And not that that's a bad thing, but you're sort of evolving in a place. So maybe that doesn't quite give you the chance to have those deeper relationships as well.
I think it's a mix of factors. I think what I said, like, I observed that a lot. I think the patterns that you are used to, or the patterns that you normally use to socialize, they don't necessarily fit in the new environment. So you have to observe and try to, I don't know, like, absorb, like, other patterns that you see to make yourself fit, because you also want to, I don't know, I personally want to feel, like, adapted to the American culture. Like, I've always, like, every country where I lived before, I just, like, went deep into the kitchen, as we said, you know, like, I don't know. I like to have American friends. I like American people. But I have to admit that relationships don't work the same. Like, the way you socialize is, like, way different. It's just a matter of, like, making it work. And it takes time.
Yeah. As far as the art side of things, as far as your art practice here, for the time that you are here, what do you feel like you've gotten the most out of from Atlanta's art community?
I think, like, everything has been, like, pretty quick, probably because Atlanta art scene is kind of small, so you get to know people really quickly. I think Wonder Root has played, like, a huge role in my integration to the art community. Like, I discovered Wonder Root, like, the week after I got here, and I got to Wanderoot. I started to work in the ceramic studio. Like, Jessica told me, why don't you apply to the CSA? So I done the CSA, the Wonder Farm, the Walther Fellowship, like workshops, and really Wanderoot has played like a huge role in my kind of like integration to the art community in Atlanta. It's been actually through Wanderoot that I have been able to interact with and participate and just like write in, you know. And I'm really grateful to Wanderoot for that. And I've been growing like little by little. I don't know, like one challenge after the other.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, let all of our listeners know maybe one or two of your favorite places to be inspired here in Atlanta.
I love to go to lose myself to Arabia Mountain. I like the way the pounds, it's like a carved mountain and it's red somehow, and the clouds reflect on the water when it rains, and I think it's just such a lunar landscape. I love it. And I feel really inspired when I go there.
Sarah Santa Maria, let all of our listeners know how they can find out more about you and your work.
Probably the best place is the website. It's called sarasantamaria.com. And then in the website, if you link to the Instagram, I promise to be more active on Instagram too. But I have other things on Instagram too. So that's probably the best way.
All right. Sarah, thank you for your time.
Thank you.